Welcome to Wired Ministries Presents podcast. This is a different episode than an Open Line Sunday. This is a conversation with one of our youth, Drake. And I almost said his last name, but I realized I shouldn't do that. With Drake, he is one of our students. He's been in our ministry for a long time. And he brought up a topic, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk about. So that's what you're about to hear. But before we get there, let me introduce you to the youth pastor and the media pastor at our church, Full Gospel Temple, Pastor Lawrence Lafferty.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Thanks for giving me a chance to talk to the audience. And I want to thank the audience for joining us. I know there's a lot of things you could choose to listen to besides us. And we're humbled by you joining us. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I just real quick wanted to ask you about information about the youth or where, if people wanted to find us, where could they do so?
Well, if you're on the interwebs, it's real easy to find us at www.fgtonline.org. If you want to call us, this phone number is 734-326-3333. But what I'd really like to do is I'd like to see you. I'd like to shake your hand and meet you. So come out and join us. We're at 34033 Palmer Road, Westland, Michigan, 48186. So if you're in the area and you'd like to stop and say hello, see a face attached to this voice, we'd love to have you.
And what time are our services on Sundays?
Sunday morning, we have two Sunday morning services, 9 and 11. And Sunday evening is when our Wired service is. It's at 6 p.m. But there's also classes for everybody Sunday nights. Nursery, infant age, all the way up through adults.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Lafferty, for joining me on this intro. And again, you are about to hear a conversation with one of our students, Drake. And we hope you enjoy, and thank you for listening. Hello. Yeah. Welcome to Wired Ministries Presents podcast. Today we have a conversation with Drake. Hi, Drake.
Hi. Hello. How are you all?
Well, I'm good. I don't know about... there's probably nobody listening to this.
Yeah,
so
true.
Whatever. Today we're going to do something different. Usually we bring you the Open Line Sunday classes. And we're still going to do that. But every once in a while we're going to have a podcast with one of the students. And just talk about a topic, a subject, whatever. And kind of like an Open Line Sunday, but like not. So, what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about the world's terms and then the spiritual terms between the old and the young. The differences and the conflicts that face each generation towards each other. So, to start off in the general term of the country...
Wait, hold on. Let me just set the scene here. So, how old are you?
I'm 16.
So you would fall in the youth category.
Youth category.
Okay, I'm turning 32 in December.
So you're in between.
So I'm the perfect person to talk to about this.
You're the mediator between the two
viewpoints. Right, right. I try to keep the peace, and it doesn't work. So, all right, so go ahead. What's the first thing you wanted to bring up?
First thing in the general aspect of society, and specifically in the United States, we have differences in race, technology, violence, if you would want to say, government funding, politics, everybody's favorite, and finally down to culture, which basically brings all those into play.
So you think the premise of all of the differences and all the conflicts that happen between, we'll say, the elder statesmen of the church and the youth of the church are all based on these categories?
Yes, now, and even you could apply race to the church, even though I did not put that in there, but yeah, that can apply because we see a lot of things happen now, and unfortunately church shootings of other people getting upset at each other. They just start taking each other out.
Okay, so let's go through all these one at a time. What do you mean by how is technology causing conflict between the youth of the church and the elder statesmen of the church? In your opinion, because this is all opinion.
My opinion is, you know, technology, we have to keep up with the times. You know, it's, you know, I want, and the youth of today argue that using the technology that we have today will help reach more people of the world, and even in our own neighborhoods. However, you know, you get the elder statesmen of the church, and I've heard from a couple of them, oh, that some things are too loud, some things are too bright, which obviously those can be fixed, but technology, in a way, some people are just like old-fashioned, you know, like how some people, like in Mall Cop, you preferred handwritten sentiments instead of a phone.
I will not pretend like I've seen Mall Cop. I think I have, but it was so dumb I blocked it out of my mind, and I can't recall that reference, but I'm sure it's a thing.
Yeah, but this is different technology, and some, you know, in some, I guess you would say, smaller churches would not, like, for instance, a couple churches here in the state of Michigan, they're going so big in that one of them, what I heard is that because of the technology that they're facing and how many churches are of that one institution is spreading, that some of the sermons is just pre-recorded and there's not someone there.
So you think that causes a conflict between...
Well, not necessarily, but, like, just preferring, like, towards, like, the old-fashioned, talking about elder statesmen.
So you're saying that the technology isn't something that's necessarily causing a conflict.
It's just people...
But it's something that is a change that people aren't used to.
And yeah.
Due to that, it's, well, why do we gotta have this when it's always worked this way? Or,
yeah.
So you're saying that in a nice, very polite way, it's that some people aren't as adept to change as others.
Yeah, and just like, you know, preference. And that now in our church, Full Gospel Temple, I haven't experienced a lot of people getting upset over the changes in technology and all that. And to me, nothing really changed besides the different looks of things, but they all work the same. So to me, yeah. But I'm not a technological
person. Okay, so let me speak from that aspect, because I do audio and video for the church, and I can tell you that there are some times where people are maybe confused or put off by different lights or different things, because because to them, not even about tradition, I think, but more about we want to make sure that we don't lose ourselves in all of the tech and all of the devices.
The spotlight, you would say.
Right. Yeah, that's well worded. But they don't want us to lose ourselves into all of the things we can do just because. And they still want to hold on to the message. And the message is, for them, I feel like the message is the most important thing. And for the youth or those who are a little more tech advanced, it's about, yes, it's about the message, but it's also about getting that message further out there. We're doing a podcast right now about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are literally using technology to reach more. So, I mean, younger people and people that are tech savvy use technology. We use Facebook. We use social media just to get messages out. And I think the disconnect on that one aspect alone is that some people don't understand that we need this to make this happen, to do this. Now, that said, I think there is a point to be made that we shouldn't lose ourselves in getting all this technology and stuff just so we can do more if we're not equipped to properly do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure. And see, next thing would be... maybe possibly would thing would be now culture, now technology as a part of our culture that has grown, you know, within the last 50 years, more than 50 years, really, ever since World War I, technology has, like, soared.
50 years ago, we didn't have cell phones.
Yeah, 50 years ago, yeah,
at
we
all.
Didn't have cell phones.
Like, at all. Like,
all we had was the military radios that were about 2 feet long. But now the rest of the culture which technology ties into is, in what I was researching, was inclusiveness. The youth and young adults... on which was the average of, like, below 35 or something, they were more inclined to want to be a part of the world more, in essence, to change it within. So in the research, they were saying that these people, even though it's not bad to be in the world as long as you're not of it, which in essence is like, now drinking and smoking aren't bad. It's bad for your health, but it's not necessarily synesthesia as you stay sober-minded. But like for cussing, we're told to be of pure speech. So the inclusiveness part would be you start acting like the world in certain ways, you start thinking like it, which they were saying more Christians who start hanging out with more and more of the world will in essence become like that and be more prone to do those things.
So you're saying that the way that the youth or the younger generation find to be inclusive for the unsaved is to be like the unsaved?
From the research that I saw, was yes. Now, granted, you know, that's not true for, like, every youth, because if you truly want to go in, not necessarily, like, be in the world, but you start evangelizing with people, and yes, they, for instance, I'm going into college, so I'll most likely have friends that are unsaved, but as long, and I can hang out with them, but as long
wait, time out. You are 16?
Yes.
When do you turn 17?
Next March.
And when do you start college?
September 4th.
What? We're no longer cool.
Okay. But anyway. trying to get back on track.
I'm sorry. I had this effect.
But now every youth is going to be the same. Now, they won't be prone to those things. Because if they really feel like God is telling them to actually go and do it. But I think the elder statesmen of the church and even like the parents of these kids are too worried that they'll get so focused on being in the world. I think that's more the fear that they will become it because they're so focused on going inwards to change it.
So they almost have the mentality of almost like infected.
Yeah, like they'll go in.
Like a virus goes into the dog here. Like, you know, and then get it sick, but essentially be the opposite. So, a light going into the darkness to illuminate darkness. Now, that sounds dangerous and ineffective. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, but in the Bible, Paul speaks about how he, when he had to evangelize to the rich, he would be more on his Pharisee side, rich side, where he did have some wealth. But if he had to reach the poor, he was willing to, you know, to stop all that he was doing, and he was a tent maker, so they made good money back then. But he was willing to go down to their level to reach them. So I think, we'd have to.
But then we have to determine what is quote their level. Is their level doing whatever thing, whatever they're doing, you know? Is so if we want to reach someone who is, you know, who drinks heavily, do we go to the bar with that person and drink with them to show them some sort of sense of camaraderie and then bring them over to our side?
That's the part that, you know, both sides, I guess, fear, especially the elder, you know, and the elderly and the parents in the church fear that their kids would go down to. Because, yes, we have to adapt to certain parts to, you know, to reach people, but at the same time, we cannot adapt so much to where we turn like them. And, for instance, taking a drunk to the bar to save him? No. Maybe give him a can of like a can of soda or something. And even though I'm not Southern, I do say soda. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I do too. So it's just us two, but that's fine. It just feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pop just sounds weird. So I see your point, but I'm curious of the logistics. You know. Wow, this is a really difficult topic to kind of go over.
Yeah, being inclusive towards others, but yet staying separate.
I think the thing I would do, maybe this is anecdotal, you know, thoughts, but it's what I have at the moment to offer for this podcast. I think what I would do is, like, what I already do now. I have friends that you know, do drink, and I don't. And I'm like, look, if you do that, that's on you. That, whatever, man. It's not my thing. I won't do it. I'm drinking a Monster as we sit here.
That's still pretty bad,
too. Ultra Paradise, it's so good, though. I don't care. But, no, so my thing is, like, I'm
I've adapted a little bit differently. I understand how, like, some people are like, nope, you have to know this, you have to do this, you have to, you know. And my belief is that I live the way I know I should to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Because ain't no one perfect, and I'm not either. But to the best of my ability, I do. And then anytime I fail or I fall, I make sure to let that person, if they saw it, know that that wasn't right and I shouldn't have done that. And I also, I'll go as far as to say, like, if I'm at a restaurant and someone is with me and they get a drink, I don't judge that person. Personally, I don't care, you know? But at the same time, I just live my life the way I think that it should be lived correctly and try to be an example. And if these people around me know that if they ever have a question or they ever need anything, I'm always there for them. I always go above and beyond to help any of my friends that I can just to show a good example. And I always try to be the best example I can without being perfect.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not going to be the world's fault of what happens in the end. It's going to be our responsibility and our accountability to whether we fall or not, because we know the truth, just up to us, to whether we really want to believe it or not.
Right.
It all comes down on us, not on the world, because the world is the world, and, you know, they don't know any better.
Right. So I think this isn't more of a, this last issue with culture isn't really a conflict between the young and the elderly of the church. It's more of the young in the church and the young outside of the church. And it's a problem with discipling and evangelism. It's a problem with trying to talk to people on their level without having to drop to their level.
Yeah.
You know? That's not saying, I hope no one just heard me say that and thinks that I'm saying that people that go to church are better than people that don't. That's not what I'm saying.
Oh no, Christian kids are the worst.
They very much are. They really are. They're just closeted about it.
There are any pastors who are listening on this, sorry.
Yeah.
By your kids. I'm a church kid, so I'm pretty worse too. So, you know.
I'm about half because I grew up out in Detroit, like terrible areas, always moving, always, you know, getting into trouble. Sort of. There's not a whole lot you can get caught on, but. But, you know, always having issues here, there. And then when I was I'd be in and out of church with my dad when I was like 6. And then, you know, blah, 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 blah. Saved. Here I am. You know, so about half. I think I understand both perspectives quite well. So what else you got other than culture?
Well, I didn't. Oh, what was I just thinking of? I didn't put it down. But we could talk about dating, which, you know, obviously that. But first, the relevance of Christianity in today's world.
Oh,
now, I was looking at this because obviously the youth, they want to get more, you know, want to be more inclusive and go to the world and, like, the relevance, you know, putting on social media and that, and what that Christian comedian said of how to put each verse for each day, for, you know, for the Christian mother. What? But, oh, this comedian, he's like, this is the way to enhance your scriptural profile every day. It was a new scripture for every day that a woman could post on Facebook or whatever. But the relevance, like, I don't really. Now, when I was researching this, I wrote it down. I wasn't really sure on the relevance, but, like, how the youth want to be more inclusive, but the elderly, like, the elder statesmen and, you know, the parents of these kids, they want to be, I don't want to say refined, but they want to be more, you know, out on the barrier, if you would want to say.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. Like, obviously not be so in the world. Like, granted, my mom, when she goes to work, she'll say straight up to people, oh, yeah, that's not wrong. She'll get in the conversations, sometimes arguments. But she'll say, hey, that's not wrong. But she doesn't, you know, but she doesn't try to go in and perfect these people's lives because she knows they're worldly and. But how the youth want to go and be a part of these people's lives and be just like them to save them, which will really.
So would you say that that means that I think what you're kind of hinting at is that your mom is like coming at them, understanding who they are, and that's about it. But your mom also in this instance, in your scenario, I don't want to say nothing negative about your mom. I'm just using the scenario you presented. Please understand that.
Oh, she's probably not going to listen.
In the scenario, well, someone else might listen and tell her. So, in the scenario you provided, what you're saying is she's approaching it logically, but also having zero connection.
You know, when
it's explaining something to someone and then just letting them be.
Yeah, because
where you're saying that the, I'm sorry to cut you off. But what you're saying to me, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the youth want to have a connection to someone and then bring them to Christ yeah. and to church.
Yeah, and using that relevancy and like the youth, they're saying that now since the youth want are going more and more and being inclusive, they're more likely to now drink and smoke. It's not bad. It's horrible for yourself and you're wrong to do it, but it's not a sin, so you can do it if you want. As long as you stay sober-minded and hopefully your lungs don't give out. But but doing stuff like that, and they're saying being more prone to cussing and that while being going so far deep to say these people. But like, now the scenario I gave of my mom, she's at work, so, you know, politics and religion, you don't really go well at work. Now, you know, when they're, you know, friends, I guess it would be a different scenario.
Sure.
But just saying, I guess that it really comes down to, like, I guess, you know, the elder statesmen of the church. They do it in a different way. Now, granted, that could change, you know, because even Pastor Anderson has said he'll just talk to his neighbors in a friendly conversation. God comes up, which is obviously,
yeah,
you know, but he's also a pastor, so I guess he can maneuver away a little bit. But, or
maneuver into it.
Yeah, maneuver into it. But, you know, I guess it would just come down to the relevancy is, like, how you would want to use it personally. Now, the youth, they want to be more part. I don't want to say a part of the world. I just want to be more in it.
They want to have relationships with those. So I think the simple way to say it is that they're trying to have a relationship with someone that they're trying to also bring in, which is very often, the failure there. Because, and I think this is where I understand specifically both sides. Because the people that have been in the church longer have seen people come and go. I've seen so many people come and go.
Yeah.
And I don't even know people's names anymore.
I only know about maybe half the church. Yeah. Other people are either coming or
you have to be there for like 5 years for me to learn your name. Because I'm always like in ministry, always doing something, always working for a ministry somewhere at some point. Sometimes sitting in a service, still working, you know. And that's my own doing, Pastor. It's fine.
Hey, you know, God calls us to do things.
But my point is, I understand like that where one side would come from and where the other would come from. I can see clearly that the youth have an emotional response to these things, and seeing someone not on the right path, we'll say, right?
Yeah.
That you would have an emotional response to wanting to save that person. But the thing I think they don't understand is you can't.
Got you.
It's exactly. I heard this song one time, and one of the last lines in the song was, "It's not our job to make anyone believe." And I was like, oh. And it really bothered me because, one, I like that band, and two, I like that song. But I'm like, that last line is so brutal. But it's so true. It's not my job to make you believe. It's my job to present evidence, and whether you accept it or not, here it is. You know what I mean? It's to present the truth, present the best version of the truth I can show you, and then for you to whether accept it or deny it. I think that's where older people keep their stuff, is that they're like, look, I know what I need to do. Here it is. If you don't like it, this is it. And for...
You're more of the hard, honest type of people. You know, they've been through life, so they're like, you know...
Yeah, they're battle scarred.
Forget all this stuff. Let's just give them a hard, honest truth.
Just hard truth.
But, sometimes you need to do that.
Right. But I think what happens is when you get older is you slowly lose that emotional connection you have to a lot of your thoughts. And I think that there's a fine balance. For most people, it's just either, it's, you know, there's a lot of people that are like facts, 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 facts. And there's a lot of people that just respond to emotion, 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 emotion. And I feel like what we need, especially in these instances, is a fine line between them. We can be, we can tell someone the hard truth, but also be there for them if they need something.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we can bridge that gap. But I think it takes both sides acknowledging there's a problem to begin with. And, you know, I think this conversation might, hopefully, will go a long way to somewhat bridge this gap.
Yeah.
So, I definitely see both points, and I think this is a great topic. Good job.
Oh, yeah. Now, personally, I'm in between the two. I'll be a hard, honest truth guy, but at the same time, you know, at work, work, yeah, I talk to people at work, yeah, we crack a few jokes, but outside of work, because they are worldly and I'm not, we don't really do a lot. Now, within the past weeks, I connected with the guy at work because he goes to a church right down the road at St. Jude.
You don't gotta give out all these people's information.
St. Jude. But anyways, yes, we have maybe possibly differences in what we believe in certain ways of it,
sure.
But because of that...
It's a Catholic church?
Catholic church. So, yeah, we came on the issue with communion and how some people drink wine, others grape juice, and how some people believe they're cannibals while they're doing communion.
Oh, yeah, they believe that the bread becomes the
flesh
body
of Christ.
Right.
Yeah, and that's because of that, now, when he needed the morning off to where he could, the evening off to where he could go to his church's ice cream social, because of us knowing where each other was coming from, or at least knowing, you know, this thing matters to one another, whether we're saved or not, I was able to be like, yeah, I'll take your shift for you to do that. So I think once you come, it's just up to finding a common ground, not being like, oh, you're a Christian, oh, you're a heathen, finding the common ground, but at the same time, not getting too emotional to where you let your emotions cloud the judgment that God gave
you. So maybe if we just respect one another more,
yeah,
this would all just be easier.
Yeah.
And maybe if everyone immediately was like, look, I want respect, so I'm going to give respect, we would all be good, you know? And I know there are some people that feel entitled to respect because of either A, their age, or B, the knowledge they have, or
position
C,
what they
right.
have.
Right. You know, and you know what? Maybe that shouldn't matter at all. Maybe we should just respect everyone, period. And if we did, I think this would be a lot better for everyone, young and old, you know?
Yeah.
So what else you got?
Well...
What else is the
I don't know how politics and religion really work out all that well in the church. So we won't really talk about that one.
Wait. You don't want to talk about politics?
Hey, that's going to be an Open Line Sunday.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's the next Open Line Sunday, actually. Politics. I don't know how he's going to...
I don't know.
How is he going to do that one? I have no idea. Cause
I can't even think about... Well, obviously, we can correlate.
Maybe he's just going to read the definition of politics and explain how it works. And then be like, this side likes this side likes this, done.
Well, yeah, we'll probably do a care group style. But anyways...
There's gotta be something.
The Bible and politics, they have to go hand in hand, obviously, because we live our lives based on the Word of God, the Bible. And sometimes that's more important than politics if it goes against the Word of God. But a lot of people, they get caught up probably... I don't know if it's because they're ignorant and don't necessarily read the Bible a lot or know the truths about politics and what certain people are doing, but it's kind of a tricky issue if you think about it now, because granted, whenever I've talked about politics, it's not basically, religion. Now, granted, with abortion, we know as Christians, abortion is wrong. Now, granted, there's something like the life of the mother, if she's about to die and the baby has no way saving, you have to save a life. But
yeah, and that's a tough topic all in and of itself, and I think the Open Line Sunday podcast, hey, go back two episodes, really did a good job to cover all of that, and I'm not so sure that you can't talk about politics with people. I think everyone just, if again back to the respecting, if everyone respected each other, this wouldn't be a problem. But I feel like the problem we have with politics is that people take such a hard line stance without ever trying to view the opposite side. And that's honestly, I think, honestly, the word perspective sums up everything for me. Because if you refuse to see any other perspective except your own, you're never going to win anybody to anything. You know, and that's why I think the Open Line Sunday topics are so important. That's why I think conversations like this are so important, is that we can look at a subject and go, okay, I can see from this angle and this one, you know, and understand that neither of them have to be wrong. I mean, the Gospels are all different angles and perspectives of the same event, you know? So if we can't learn that perspective is very important. I don't know how else we're supposed to get that, but the whole thing with politics and religion is just perspective and people refusing to understand a different perspective than their own.
And not even just also our own perspective, but, you know, God's perspective as well, you know. Because obviously we know, again, abortion is wrong if out of convenience. You know, if someone just wants to, they're not feeling ready for a kid, so they're just like, and it, which happens a lot, which is the, what is it, 80% of all abortions?
Which is the leading percentage of said abortions.
Which is, you know, unfortunate how some of them, you know, they might have to be done. But anyways, but saying, like, the hate part of it and what, you know, the evilness of the world is like, you know, abortion, is, we know, is wrong besides. Now that's tricky. But another thing could be just, you know, different laws that enact and, like, you know, the youth and the elderly, like, marijuana. So many youth were in favor for it just because in, not even that, but, like, immigration laws. Now just even reading on the general term for...
I think just to talk about politics without being political.
Yeah. Which is kind of hard to do because I've never done politics in a religious
sense. Oh, no, this will be really easy. You see, it's very simple. I think how this relates to the youth versus the elders in the church is that it's very simply the elders have seen a lot more things and a lot more situations than the youth have just been aware of Facebook. You know, and I don't mean to say that in a demeaning way, but I can tell you I've seen so many more failed policies. I've seen so many more you know, promises that were never kept, and the elders have seen more than I have, you know. So when someone says something, when someone says something like, you know, oh no,
hold on,
I'm gonna pause this.
I forgot to call my mom. Lord, no, you're not here. Hello, sorry, I forgot, but I'm here. You are so grounded. Oh, okay.
I am recording again now.
Okay, where were we?
You know what? I don't know. So when someone says something like, this should be free, or this should be for whoever, or this should be blah, 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 or whatever, I think the thing they don't understand is that other people are against it because they've seen these statements, they've seen these proclamations. People have seen these things before, and because of that, they understand, hey, this sounds great, but it doesn't work. It's just, it's not necessarily thinking deeper on the issue, and instead what it is it's just having more experience to acknowledge, hey, that doesn't work. And I think the problem mostly with both sides is that one thinks logically, again, or maybe even to their detriment, and the other thinks emotionally, without any logic, to their detriment as well. And the thing is, we have to find a middle ground. So on all of these things could totally be summed up if people would, one, respect one another, regardless of age, race, or creed, and two, if we would just understand that our perspective isn't always the right one or the only one. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so politics is really easy to tackle without being political.
Yeah. Mom. Just, you know, thinking it in the, you know, in a church talky sense, you know, because even I going into a Christian school, whenever we talk about politics, it was just politics, you know. Not now, granted, there was like aspects of, you know, what Christ would do, like what,
yeah,
based off the Bible, what God says is wrong and right, but like overall and generally, in a lot of church people, when they talk about politics, they tend to leave Christ out of the situation at some times, because obviously people get so caught up in their own beliefs.
Well, I think to a certain extent there are times where a religious leaning can be a I don't want to say a blind spot, but can kind of get in the way of a policy. You know, because if you're trying to explain to someone who disagrees with you, right, about a policy, and they're not a religious person, but you bring up your religion to justify your political stance, that's gaining zero traction. You know, and I feel like it's very important. That's why I feel like it's important to think logically and emotionally, be able to do both, and then find the best way to explain it to someone. You know, for me and you, we can have a logical conversation.
Yeah.
If you were like a teenage girl, this conversation would be completely different.
No offense.
I promise you, it'd be really emotional.
And no offense like, eh. To any woman who is going to be listening to this.
Okay, you can say that. I don't care. Anyway, so, no, but my point is that me and you can have a logical conversation because you're a logical person. No if offense. I was dealing with someone who is not a logical person like yourself, our conversation might be somewhat logical, but have, you know, involve a little more emotion in it just because that's how that person operates. Yeah. So it's really a failure on the person who's trying to elaborate fault, because what they're doing is they're not taking into consideration the other person's strengths and weaknesses on how they perceive things, you know?
Well, that was really the end of it, but we could obviously, the thought popped up, dating, which is the age-old question, because ever since the nation of Israel was formed, God said, don't marry these people because they're unclean. Well, the question is, what's unclean or not now, since we're not Israel?
Oh my, I think...
Now, granted, I know, I trust my parents when they said, you know, they say, you know, you generally don't want to do that because obviously emotions can get in the way. Now, granted, I've even seen some people in the church, you know, heard stories. Hey, yeah, I'm dating this person. I'm going to get them saved. Yeah, you got them saved.
No.
And then within, I heard a story that within like 6 months after these people got married, after the guy, you know, had his like wife saved, right, they ended up breaking up.
Okay, after, let's not throw people's crap on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, sorry. But, you know, but this question, you know, our parents say, you know, find someone, you know, now he's even reading the devotional, find someone that loves Jesus more than you. You know, but sometimes, you know, you get into a relationship with someone and they might not be saved. You know?
So, and you know what? I think that is, there's another thing right there is that, you know, a lot of people, when, like you were talking about earlier, how they want to be a part of it to get it, to get people. And I feel like part of that is, we talked about how I think that's emotional. But I also think that's emotional also from the aspect of you are doing this to find, to almost cultivate someone into a relationship with you, which is very terrifying.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people do that. They, okay, so I have this rule specifically for me, and it may not apply to anyone else. And if you are offended by this, I kind of don't care. It's just my personal rule. And it's honestly just for me. And what it is it's that if a girl in the youth needs someone to comfort her or needs someone to talk to, I am not that person. I'm like, oh, Michelle is right over there, and she would love to talk to you and help you. And,
that one
and
night
a lot of people,
youth, yeah.
A lot of people disagree with that. And I'm like, look, here's the thing. Not even just in the culture and the environment we live in now, you know, and the climate, I should say, the climate we
the
live
society.
In now. But just in general, like, I've seen people get attached, specifically girls, emotional teenage girls, get attached to people because they feel like they can talk to them, because they feel like they can always go to them. That could be dangerous for a man and a, you know, a teenage girl. That is a whole dynamic I don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, I will talk to you as a person. I will talk to you as a youth. I'll give you advice. But as soon as you start pouring your heart out to me, I'm going to grab the closest female leader and pull her and put her in the way. Because
sure.
If you're going to have that kind of emotional connection with someone, it's not going to be me. It's not going to be someone you could potentially look at and go, aw. I'm like, no. No, that's just that's my thing. I just who was it? I think it was our vice president has this rule that he won't have a meeting with a female.
Oh yeah, without his wife present.
Hey, and a lot of people criticized him for that. And I'm like, and this is not being politics. This is talking about his issue with this. And I thought that's smart.
Yeah, and it might not be his problem, but maybe depending on he knows the females that he works with and knows their character, and if they get into a you know, also you gotta remote think, setting.
Exactly.
It might not be him. It might be them, and he knows them because he works with them.
Well, I feel like this is because he understands the word perspective.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's, again, really important. So I feel like that whole thing is literally, it's just a perspective thing. Like, I always tell people all the time, it's not about what's right and wrong in a certain in situations. What it is about is, what does it look like? You know, and now it does matter what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
But there are certain instances where you can be doing the right thing and doing nothing wrong, but does it appear like you did something wrong? Yes? Okay, wrong. That's the problem. You know? It's people aren't always aware of their perspectives. They're not always aware of how things look from the opposing view. And I really do think if everyone was more open to that idea, this conversation wouldn't even be a thing.
It wouldn't be something that could possibly, you know, ruin parents and their kids' relationships.
Yeah. So if elder people in the church understood that, look, when I was younger, I thought this, and I acted this way, and I did all these things, right? And then to assume that a youth is going to be better than where you were, not always necessarily true. Could be true, but chances are probably about on par. And I think that's probably where they come from, is that they want people to be better than they are. I want my niece and my nephew to be better person than I am. And I was. And I want all of you to do the same thing. That said, I understand you might not be that, you know, that now, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just accept, like, the youth that way, because I understand that, like, there's room for growth and there's room for change for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it all comes down to, if you really, and for instance, they're dating or really whatever, if you really think and you really believe, and if you spend time in your little prayer closet, that God is leading you in this direction, you just trust God and you go with it. You can't just do one quick prayer and think that's going to be... Now, granted, it might be a quick prayer and God would be like, yeah, do it. You know, depending on the situation. But you really got to pray on all in all of these instances, obviously, no perspective.
Yeah.
And as long as it's lined up with the will of God, there you go. Might not be easy, but I think that's the bottom line, especially as Christians, elderly, or youth, as long as it lines up.
Yeah.
The will of God, which is like, in simple terms.
So are you saying you think people just don't spend enough time communicating with God to understand if...
Well,
or to get maybe get like a good grasp on things around them?
Yeah, now also you could, you know, spending even a lot of time like in ministry. You know, I prayed in ministry. And sometimes in ministry I'm like, I really don't want to do this, you know? And you're thinking, did I really think ahead of advance? Now granted, I don't think anyone ever does when they get involved in anything, really. You could think, I think we all miss one thing when we want to get involved in something. We miss something, which makes us feel like, when you're doing it,
it's the fact that ministry is work.
Yeah.
I don't consider Sunday a day off anymore.
Yeah, it might not necessarily be, you know, if they pray enough or whatever. It's just that, I think, especially as teenagers and the youth, and like, I guess even, you know, older people in the church can testify, is that we sometimes get our emotions, especially as teenagers, emotions run a little too high. Which, it's good to have emotions, but you can't let them run.
Yeah, well, that's being a teenager.
Yeah, being...
That's kind of the thing, you know? And that's why I just feel like we have to be understanding of that to a certain extent. You know what I mean? If you are constantly emotional, maybe we need to let you talk to somebody. But, like, if you, every once in a while, you're just like, I say something to you and you respond emotionally, then I need to understand, like, okay.
Touch your spot.
It's all right. It's not a big deal. You know, we can work through it. I firmly believe that I can talk to anyone about anything and eventually maybe make them understand. Whether or not that's true, I think I can. Because I have a pretty good track record of just kind of explaining things to people. But, I myself struggle with talking to people who are emotion driven because it's harder to get through to them. And I'm not very emotionally driven.
Yeah, me either.
But I understand it, though. And I have that every once in a while. And I understand, you know, well, this is... But I think if everyone was more open to the fact that people are more emotional than you and people will always be more logical than you, then you can understand just where they're coming from.
Yeah, and so that basically sums it up. We just, you know, the elderly have to understand, yeah, times may be changing in that, and sometimes we have to adapt and whatever. At the same time, the youth need to know that these people have, you know, they've gone through the same stuff, different phase, but the same stuff, like, you know, in, like, during Vietnam, all these people were calling for, you know, radical change in government.
Yeah.
We're arguing it now, so you see, it's basically the same stuff. And granted, each opinion changes over time.
Right.
But I guess we both have to understand each other, you know, and just be kind and respectful to one another, you know.
See.
Because what you know, I don't want to, I don't know. Trigger me to, you know, talk about this was...
Just don't use specifics.
Yeah, within the past year, you know, I've just heard stories of misunderstandings between, you know, youth and the elderly because of certain things that people have chosen to do.
Yeah.
Whether it God drove them to do it or their emotions and their self, you know? It's just total misunderstandings between these people. Now, one side could be correct, one side could be wrong, but at the same time, you can't just start a war over someone's choice.
Yeah, no. You just gotta... Yeah, I think we've covered all of it. You know, it's if you're respectful and you are trying to be understanding and everyone is trying to be understanding and everyone's trying to be respectful, I don't see how you can go wrong. I think the problem falls that one or two or both parties or maybe three or four, I don't know how many people are, would be, you know, involved in said situation. But how many other people are all not thinking about the other person? They're instead thinking about, well, I'm right and they're wrong, or here is what they should be doing, and trying to dictate other people's lives, and you just can't do that, you know. I mean, you can try, but it's gonna fail miserably and blow up in your face. But yeah, I don't think that the youth are horrible, and I don't think the people who have been in the church longer than I have are horrible.
You all got different views.
Yeah, I just think everyone comes from their own little thing, and it's just easier to adhere to what you know than to try to learn something new. And, you know, with the youth trying to learn who are these people, and the elder people trying to learn what are the youth doing. I actually do love this topic. When I presented it to Pastor Lafferty, he was like, I just want to make sure
Let's
it doesn't...
Just don't disrespect anybody.
Yeah, but that's exactly how this turns out, is that we discover you need to respect people, you need to understand their perspectives, and I've said the words perspective like 300 times in this
podcast. But that's the key.
But exactly, the whole thing is just, can I see from your point of view, and can you see from mine? And, you know, especially now, that's so important, especially politically, spiritually... I mean, so many things that people would just take one second and understand where someone else is coming from, we'd have so much less divisiveness in this world, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, division, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
With a, you know. But yeah, no, so I think you nailed it. I think this was a great topic, and thank you for it.
Copyright.
Oh,
no. I'm just kidding.
No.
I had my fingers crossed.
You think this will help anyone that listens? I don't either.
But if you generally are willing to give us a check through the mail because you're saying you're using our stuff, that's good too.
Did you just like try to get money for this podcast?
No, I'm just joking around with people. I don't need money.
Well, I could use money.
Which could be another open line topic if anyone ever picks it.
Money?
Money. It's a tool. Not a whatever.
Not a what?
I don't know. What was the word? Not a necessarily, you know, a need, or like it's not something that you should. It's not a god. There's the thing. Not a god. The tool. Not something.
Something to be used to obtain other things or to get
just,
other things.
It's not something to just throw around and use for whenever you feel like you need it. Which, in some terms, which you want it.
This might be an open line Sunday. I don't want to attend.
Yeah. I have my views on money. I'm more of a saver. So.
Yeah. I try. I try, and then I'm like, oh, you know what? If I bought this, I could use it for ministry. If I bought this, I could use it for
There's
ministry.
A good excuse to use if it I all for this, ministry.
As I'm sitting here with my MacBook Pro.
hey, that could be a good excuse for some people.
Look at ministry. All the ministry that's come out of it. I'm about to go edit a video and get more ministry done. Yeah.
There you go.
That's the thing. So, all right, Drake. Well, I appreciate you coming up with the topic. I appreciate you coming over here and sitting down and having a conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And more than anything,
I'll be here next week.
No, I appreciate you getting the ball rolling and having conversations with people on this podcast, because it's something I do want to do more often. And so if you're listening and you have an idea for a topic, or you would like to sit down, or I can actually do call-ins. If you want to do a call-in or whatever, send us a voice message. We can. There's a link down below in the description where you can send us a voice message, and we will respond to it in a future podcast. Speaking of which, we have one voice message, and I'm not going to play it for you. Because no, Corey, I will not play Old Town Road on this podcast.
Did you record Charlie doing it?
Oh, I should have.
I was tempted on doing it, but we didn't.
What happens in care group stays in care group.
Yeah.